Aynel, do you know where the best feeling in the world is?
Ooh, is it, you know, when you finally beat a boss after messing up loads of times?
I mean, that's a good one.
Oh, actually, you know when you unlock a new skin in a game without having to buy it?
Yeah, solid.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, actually, what about when you blue shell someone last second and then you win the race?
I mean, they are all good options.
Well, it's not one of them.
It's not one of them. They're good options, but I think it's when you've got your new game loaded up, you are ready to go, you're getting locked in, but you've got a chocolatey friend.
Hey, hey! Now we're talking,
absolutely,
bro.
They are there, ready to give you a little power up, a little energy boost before you get going.
Especially if it's a lovely milk chocolate slab between two crisp biscuits.
You know the one, Aynel. It makes the world's most satisfying snap when you bite into it. It's got to be a pick-upper.
Pick-up! Oh, yeah! Oh, are you going for the OG pickup? You know the one with the blue box?
Yeah, this blue box.
That blue box?
Yeah, this is really good. I mean, I'm also dabbling with the salted caramel as well.
Okay.
There are loads of different flavours out there. Whichever one you go for, there is no better snack for when you're getting ready to get into a big gameplay session, about to pick up your controller and get into it.
Yeah, and they're super easy to eat as well. No chocolatey fingers over the controllers. Nah. And that's thanks to the two crisp biscuits hugging the chocolatey slab.
Nobody wants chocolate marks on their controllers, do they? Absolutely not. You can find out more by just searching for Pick Up on your phone.
Pick Up and Go.
Guess what? Go on, have a guess, have a think. You're not getting any clues from me, just have a think, have a guess. That's right. It is time for another Press X to continue. This is the video games podcast. It's got you covered. And we're wasting no time getting into things this week because, frankly, there's a lot of factors, Aynel, beyond our usual control that are getting in the way of, like, having fun doing a podcast. Things like moving house, life admin, putting things in boxes. So we're trying to jam-pack as much into these next couple of episodes as we can. I'm Stefan Powell. I'm joined, as ever, by the actor and streamer, Aynel Tomlinson. Hello, Aynel.
Hello. We are adulting at the minute, Stefan. We are adulting. I've got the heating on for the first time. I know. Testing out the radiators. That's what it is.
He's got heating on and he's wearing a thick woolen cardi. Just for those of you who don't watch this on the visualised versions.
Mm-hmm.
We are adulting. But we're here. And we're having a break from the adulting for a period, which is lovely.
Everyone's like, what podcast is this again?
What's this? You're supposed to be escaping me from the real world, not bringing me back into it. Well, look, if you're just joining us, Press X is a podcast that is proudly sponsored by Pickup. Now, it's a chocolate biscuit bar, or maybe it's a biscuit with chocolate. However you want to frame it, is a very tasty snack that helps you release tension and helps you make the most of the unpredictable moments that gaming throws at you. And they do that all the time, doesn't it? And a bit of a pickup now and again is really helpful. So we have been chuffed to be working with the team.
Oh, we do love pickup around here. My partner brought some pickups back as well. And I was like, yeah, that's right. Staying in brand.
Yes. Good job. Someone has got the memo. Very good. Got through to it. Now, today we welcome back into the fold presenter, esports host, and I'm going to say pro upholsterer based on your recent social post, Frankie Ward. Is that fair?
Thank you very much. I'm not a pro upholsterer. I got my neighbour David to do it, and I occasionally helped him with the tension of the fabric. But I did design. I did design the bench, and I picked out the fabric, my darlings. And I measured. I measured the space.
Did you measure twice?
Accurately.
Got to measure twice.
And effectively. Oh, I measured multiple times. And I got foam upholstery with Dacron around it and the stockinette.
Oh.
I don't even know what that is. What is the crumb?
Sounds delicious.
They're tickable auction boxes on the phone website that I ordered from.
We really are lifing, aren't we, at the moment?
Yeah,
this
I
is
love it.
So lifing.
Yeah,
you
know,
you can tell the age range of all of us. Yeah,
yeah. We're supposed to be targeting 16 to 24-year-olds. What are you talking about? To be fair, Frankie, you are, you know, getting your neighbour David round and helping him with the upholstery. Because you're building a studio in your garden. So it is sort of games, it's games adjacent, if not exactly gaming.
Exactly. No, it's going to be my new gaming studio. I've got the streaming space. I've got my like podcasty kind of YouTube-y future potential series, trying to tease that without like self-promoting shamelessly.
You can self-promote. This is a place. If you want to self-promote shamelessly, Frankie, this is the place that you can
Well,
do
when
it.
I'm ready to talk about it, please have me back on.
Of
but yeah,
course.
I've made a leopard print bench, basically. You can see pictures of it on the socials, and we're going to hopefully finish this week, maybe early next week.
One day, me and Aynel are going to sit down on that leopard print. upholstery, I'd have a coffee with you and think, this is very well upholstered. This is very good.
I would be honoured. Please sit your bums on my bench.
Right, let's get stuck into this week's episode then. Like I say, a bit tighter and brighter. We used to have my old lecturer used to teach us at broadcasting school. He used to say, when you write scripts for radio, you have to write them tight and bright. And that's what our episode is this week. It's going to be tight and bright. So let's get things going with an unpopular opinion. And that is coming from you this week, Frankie Ward. What's your unpopular opinion for us this week?
This is going to be really unpopular and no one's going to agree with me. But
love
I
it.
Think that in the vast majority of games, character creation options and screens are way too detailed and an absolute waste of time.
I think I'm laughing because I spend ages creating characters, but I also think I agree with you. I should just be playing the game.
This is the thing, like when you're streaming a game, like, spoiler for later on, I'm going to be reviewing Outer Worlds to release what I've played of it so far. And I was streaming it and I realised I spent like 40 minutes trying to make the character look like me. And she just still didn't look like me. Because I'm a terrible person. Whenever I like design characters in the game, I try to make them look like me.
Yeah.
And even Street Fighter 6, where you did your customization, and you know, if you like had really long arms and it would impact the balance of your body and things like that. Like really actual, genuinely interesting things. Actually, to be fair, I would give Street Fighter 6 a pass for in terms of character content creation. Character creation. But when it came to making my own character, even in that game, I just tried to make myself.
I like to make heightened versions of myself all the time, Anel, and I do spend too long on it. So I think I'm kind of with Frankie.
When you say the heightened versions, what do they look? What's the heightened version?
Do you want to see? So this was my character in the Road to Glory in the college football game recently. I'm going to show you this. Look out.
Look how dishy he is.
Hey, isn't he dishy?
Is he meant to look like you?
I think he does. I mean, he's very handsome, to be fair to him.
I like
him. He looks Welsh.
He looks Welsh. We can share this on the... Do you think?
Super chiseled.
I mean, I am impressed. He's also swaying like he's had a few, and I've definitely seen Steph do that.
Do you know what? Frankie, I think you might be right, because I spend so much time on a character creator, especially if it gives you, like, the options to kind of chisel the cheek, like the bones, and like really like accentuate the eyes and all this, and the makeup and all sorts. I get really into it, especially like as you say when you're streaming. It's one of those things. It's like, but I do wish they brought back. It was like in the 360 era where you could take a picture of yourself and then it would try and put a version of you on the character, and no games do that anymore. And the technology has gone so far now. I was like, why do they bring that back? Just let me take a little picture of myself. Boom, there it is on the character.
Can I say that would save so much time, and I'd be totally down for that.
Right?
I'm with you.
The more I think about this, Frankie, I think there should be a distinction, actually. I think for first-person games, I agree with you, because what was the point of me spending hours on Cyberpunk creating my character? And I barely saw that in the game. But in a third-person game, like College Football 26 there, for example, you actually see it. A lot more. I kind of think, oh, actually, I am spending more time with what I've created. So maybe actually I sort of think there should be a distinction.
Hold on, Stefan. How old is your character in college football?
Age is but a number, I know, okay?
It's becoming very sinister, this college football. Why have you created a character who's clearly 16 but on a massive amount of steroids?
Hey, look, it's a real-life sim, okay, of professional sports. What can I say?
I mean, America's got many problems right now, but I didn't know that was one of them.
But do you, just to push back a little bit, Frank, don't you get a sense of joy when you do finally create the character that you look, oh, you know what, that does actually look a bit like me. Yeah, that's quite cool.
Yeah, I do, but that's the thing. And when you've put loads of time into it and they still don't, it's a shame. But also, like, as you guys have pointed out, when you're playing a first-person game... So again, I'm going back to Outer Worlds 2. You're playing first person and then you only see your character, at least for me. I've only seen my character when I'm in the customization screen, and most of the time they've got a mask on.
Yeah.
You've got a helmet, you still can't see them.
I think it only really works in games like Mass Effect, where you could take that character and move them to the next game and then the next game and the next game. Mm. Then it feels like, oh yeah, like I've really invested in this character. And it feels like, oh, the time was well spent, like, creating this character because I've played them through like a series. Whereas, like as you're saying, with most of these first-person games, you rarely see them, man.
Multiplayer, though, I kind of think. Sorry, the more I'm thinking about this, Frankie, the more I'm thinking I actually disagree with you. But you know, like multiplayer games, like Space Marine 2, expertly voiced by some actors, by the way. But like, I played that multiplayer, and I quite enjoyed messing with the pauldron and putting the different bits in different places. Because I was, again, because it was third person, I guess I was seeing it a lot more. And I suppose other players playing against me were seeing the version of me. But as I take your point entirely on a first person game, that's just to be experienced by you, isn't it? So maybe, again, I'd add another distinction and another asterisk about multiplayer games in there. I don't know if you agree with me. And you don't have to.
I think you've got a point. I mean... I think it's just when they're so varied and you've got so many options. I mean, I actually did enjoy the character customization in Baldur's Gate, but then it was annoying when I had to go back and do it again because I messed up the first act and hadn't met like Gale and Karlax. And so I had to like go and redo the whole thing. And then I was like, oh, great, now I have to redo my character. And then I spent even more time on it.
Yeah, so, any game that makes you make that noise, I think, is not a good thing, is it? If you do the noise, it's not normally good. Top unpopular opinion work there, Frankie. Very good. I'm sure that's going to get people going. Let us know what you think of Frankie's unpopular opinion. There is a link to our Discord in the bit below. You can click on that and join in the conversation. And when you see this on social media, comment, like, share, all that stuff. And yeah, we're at Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky and Press X Podcast. No, the other way around. I always forget. Press X Podcast on Instagram, I think. I should know that by now. We've been doing this for nearly a year, I know. I've forgotten it. Oh, God. The house is in boxes, okay? Come on.
All they have to do is press in Press X and it will pop up.
Pop up there somewhere. Yeah. Right? Find it. Get involved in the conversation. We love hearing from you. Okay, just because we're packing this show to the rafters, right, doesn't mean we're not going to do trivia. So if you've got some trivia to test us with, by the way, you know the drill. You can get in the Discord. There's a secret channel there that allows you to submit questions for us to try and answer on the podcast, and we will do our best to answer it. And we have now got, Frankie, this is exciting for you, right? We've got a new scoring system. Okay. Now, well, the scoring system has stayed the same, but we have got a new way of quantifying that scoring system to make it fairer, depending on how many questions people have answered or been asked. And a massive thanks to Yes Andy No in the Discord, who has done some amazing calculations to figure this out. And I'll tell you what the new leaderboard looks like in a second, I know. As you can see, someone is very excited about it.
Yes Andy No, can I just suggest you change your name to Maybe? Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Very
Continue.
Good.
Continue.
Very good.
Continue, Clubber.
Okay, so the question for this episode is...
Who wants to be a continuer?
The swine flu pandemic in 2009 inspired the villains of which hit game released in that year? Tough one this week. The swine flu pandemic of 2009 inspired the villains of which hit game also released in 2009?
That's a good question.
It's Saints Row 2.
It's a great question. Yeah. I mean, why not? Sure.
I have a feeling that the scores are going to go down.
Let's go into this. So, Yes Andy No has figured out in the Discord, basically, he's done some clever maths, because we were just, you know, Benedict Townsend was top with 100%, but he only answered two questions, frankly, okay? So was it fair that he was top of the leaderboard after answering just two questions? No. Keza McDonald, fair enough, 5 out of 7, 71%, she was in second. But we had a very binary system. But Yes Andy No has come in, and he's fixed all of this, and producer Dave's gone away and made it all make sense. So basically, this system now rewards consistency over time, as well as correct answers by doing some clever maths in a background that I'm not going to bother trying to understand. Now, under the new system...
It's overcomplicated, isn't it?
independently verified, okay? Under the new system, independently verified, this is all you need to know, is currently... Keza's 5 out of 7 puts her in first place. Mm-hmm. So congratulations, Keza, off of The Guardian and writing a new book about Nintendo. Actually, written a new book about Nintendo that is out very soon. She goes into first place. Well done. In second place, With 12 correct out of 40, so low percentage, but consistency over time, it's none other than Stefan Powell. Look at that, second place.
What? Hold on, this is rigged, this system.
Eh? Second place. Benedict, 2 out of 2 on his 100% record, puts him now into third place. And Einel, you're currently in fourth with 10 out of 37. Frankie, you're down in 11 at the moment with a 1 out of 3.
One, oh, I thought I was 50-50 and I'm 1 out of 3.
Yeah, 1 out of 3. You're 33%. So you're down in 11th. However, it could all change this week. And actually, you're with us for a couple of weeks. So all change over the next couple of weeks. The reminder of the question, good work, yes and no, though, doing those maths. Right now.
I will say, it does sound as complicated as sorting out your taxes, though. It does sound that complex.
Yeah, that's why he's done it.
Which tax code am I?
I'm not new, yeah. So the swine flu pandemic 2009 inspired the villains in which hit game released that year? And we will bring you the answers later on in the podcast. Right then, big news that's been sort of everywhere in the game space. Xbox games coming to PlayStation. Matt Booty, who leads Xbox game content and studios, basically said they're not competing with PlayStation anymore and other consoles, but it's about competing with TikTok and movies and other stuff. And of course, the big news is that Halo, Gears of War and Forza are all going onto other platforms. Halo on PlayStation just feels odd, feels a bit strange, but it's happening. We've kind of known it was happening for a while, Einel, but it's sort of, it's still a bit odd when you hear it, and
yeah,
we're going to see it
soon. The rumours were there for a long, long time that it was coming to PS5, and then now that it's finally official, it feels like when the Dreamcast died and you started seeing Sonic go over to like Nintendo platforms, it has that kind of reverence to it. Because I remember, I bought an original Xbox purely for Halo. Like, purely. I played it at my older brother's house. Halo was so good, the co-op that we played, the campaign, that I was like, I'm getting me an Xbox. And it was like a definition of a system seller. Like, Halo was the game. Like, if you want to play Halo, you got to buy an Xbox. And now that is no longer the case. And I associate that so closely with the Xbox brand that now that Halo's gone, then it doesn't matter about the others anymore. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, the others just... They can all go to PS5 as far as I'm concerned. Cause...
Yeah, Forza, as a bigger game, as good a game, as much as I love that is, doesn't have quite the same emotional resonance, I suppose, as Halo, Frankie. Do you care, especially, that this is happening?
I find it interesting because I know that there's now kind of rumours that the next gen of consoles is coming in 2027, and I wonder if that signals Xbox potentially not being interested in that race anymore. Because... Right. You know, in terms of like crossplay and things like that, PC, I think, is becoming more accessible and more popular. And I think that that is the general direction, obviously, that Microsoft want to push people into. And so, therefore, if they can try and make Xbox Studios games profitable in other ways, because we know that Games Pass has obviously been a big loss leader and we've seen loads of redundancies, if they can start to try and make money from those games being sold on other platforms and then try and pull people into Games Pass with the titles releasing early, you know, within that kind of Xbox, that gaming universe, should we say, flywheel. I think that that's kind of maybe a sign of the direction they're going, and they're like, come with us, we'll get you this on subscription, but if you actually just want to play the games on those platforms, fine, but we're going to charge you £70 for them.
Yeah, there's rumours, isn't there, that the new Xbox is essentially going to be aligned very, very closely with... Windows work on PCs, isn't it? It's essentially going to be a sort of slightly more accessible gaming PC, you know, in all but name, essentially, isn't it? I was expecting this. We were all kind of expecting this, just reading, you know, the tea leaves. But I wondered if they would have still held something back. I would have thought that they would have held something back. There's just, you know, essentially you can play most things and everything now, but we just got this one little diamond that just might encourage some people to choose. Because there will be some people that are 50-50 and they will go with Halo because they love Halo so much. So I was a bit shocked by that. Not shocked by Gears of War 4 or everything else like we're hearing, but I just thought they would hold Halo back a bit longer, if I'm honest.
There's nothing else. There's nothing left. Like, exclusive-wise, that was as huge as Halo was for Microsoft, for them to say, this is our exclusive. Like obviously, Sony have so many, Nintendo got the most, but like when it comes to exclusives for Microsoft, they don't have any that can compete in the same fight anymore. And so, like, yeah, it's disappearing. It is a shame because I guess it makes like us gamers that have been around for a while like feel quite nostalgic to for like the early like Xbox days and like how well they did in the 360 generation. Like everyone had like a 360 at one point because it was just like it was everywhere. Whereas now, like Xbox as a brand, it's different. It's changed and it's like the new version of Xbox and Microsoft is coming in, and I'm not sure gamers are quite as trusting or I don't think they have that same allegiance, I guess.
My worry slightly with this, Frank, is that games become so homogenized. What was good about having different systems is that, you know, Xbox games felt slightly different to PlayStation games, which felt very different to Nintendo games. You know what I mean? So therefore, you could pick your poison a bit more. Whereas now, I worry if everybody's making games, it has to work on all platforms. You're kind of going to be seeing a lot more of the same type of thing. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but I think that time is obviously passed now. And again, I think that Xbox have conceded that they're no longer the cool platform, right? Gone are the 360 days, and they're not necessarily innovating in console titles. And so, and again, we're past that now in general. So I would say that this is an opportunity in some ways for them to refresh IP with a new audience. It's like the replenisher audience, to use a very BBC term. You've got this kind of young, fresh gaming audience who didn't play Halo the first time round. They're wanting to play it on PlayStation. I think it's a no-brainer for Microsoft because instead of completely rebooting the titles, because the last Halo, as far as I'm aware, underperformed. You know, it underperformed to Microsoft's expectations and to the audience's expectations, well, in terms of as a game. So therefore, instead of making more, just put out to a new audience and see the uptake, and then you can use that to judge whether you invest more in that IP or maybe you park it.
Interesting stuff. Well, look, let us know what you think of this move. Are you excited to be playing Halo on your PlayStation? Are you sad that, you know, sort of this is where the games industry is going? Does it actually make no difference whatsoever? In fact, more people can play the best games going, the better. Let us know. Get involved in the conversation in the Discord or find us on social media and share your thoughts with us there as well. Okay, it is now time for the Press X Biscuit Break, brought to you by Pickup.
Yes, that's right. It's the part of the podcast where we take a moment to re-energize before we go in again. We're going to discuss the games that you can play while taking 5 minutes out to get yourself back on track. Give yourself a little boost before going on and taking on the world once again. Something you could play while you're enjoying your snack. All right. My choice this week, Stefan, is a fantastic little game because you know how I love my little puzzle, mental, like arithmetic kind of type games.
I'd never hear of Picross until you started talking about it, for example.
There we go. Here's a fun one I found that's available on mobile devices, iOS and Android. It's called Mindset. Now, it starts off really simple. It's about putting shapes and like sorting shapes in the correct space. So you have some like circles and you have like get given a bunch of different shapes, and then it's like, right, you have to put six of these particular shapes in this band and six of these particular in this one. And you're like, okay, you're sorting them out. And it goes, right, six of three of these in this one that has this particular color, three of these in this particular color, boom, boom. And then you start getting like a Venn diagram where they start overlapping. And like now you have to sort out the shapes in which a red circle has to go in here, but then you have to work out what the other circles have to go in, what other shapes have to go in the other circles. And it gets more and more complex as you go on. And it's really, really fun, really, really addictive. It's one of those games you can just pick up and play daily. They do like daily puzzles and stuff like that. But reminds me a lot of the brain training games on a Nintendo DS, that kind of style of kind of gaming, but it's really fun.
Yeah, it's getting your grey cells going. Very good. Well, if that sounds like a bit of you, give it a go. And next time you want a little break from reality. Right, that was the Press X Biscuit Break, brought to you by Pickup. Okay, right, it's time for a review then. Frankie, you have started playing Outer Worlds 2, which the first one won a BAFTA, right, if I remember rightly?
The first one, I think, took people by surprise. It shouldn't, because it's from Obsidian, who have an incredible track record, but it was definitely a lot of people's surprise game of the year. People really love this game, even though it's hard to quantify what an AA title is as opposed to like a AAA, but it wasn't a product that had a decade of development, let's say, and loads of money poured into it. But it was very satisfying in terms of the world building and the sense of humour. And I think that it was a no-brainer that they were going to make a sequel. Now, I am jumping into Outer Worlds 2 as someone who read a lot about the first game but didn't get the chance to play it. So I was really keen to try it out and give it a go. I do like an RPG, especially one that's set in space and doesn't break my computer. I tried Starfield, I lost it 2 hours. So coming into this, which has run really well on my PC, fairly average gaming PC that I'm running, I was able to jump straight in, get on with a kind of hour-long prologue, and then you really start the game proper and you go onto your first island, which is called Paradise Island, and start to manipulate and get involved with the factions, or even be manipulated by them to obviously get what you want. And I don't want to give too much away for the listeners who are probably playing it right now, but let's say there's an overarching narrative of revenge, and boy, ooh, do I love revenge. So it's, so far, it's been really entertaining. I think the things that I'm enjoying about it, apart from the character customization that I spent too long in, callback, is things like the script. I mean, if you played the first one, you're going to be no stranger to this, but it's very quippy, it's very witty. I love the fact that the dialogue doesn't feel wasted. Every time you go to speak to someone, if they don't have anything of interest or of relevance to your campaign, then they're not going to talk to you. They literally tell you to go away. And I know this sounds stupid, but for people of our age who are so time poor, I love that. I love that I'm not wasting time on badly worded conversations. We literally just get to go in and hit the ground running. Already 4 hours into the game, I do have a massive to-do list, which for me is mildly overwhelming, but I think that's also coming with the fact that I'm streaming my gameplay. So I think if I had the chance to kind of spend a few hours a night with it on my own and really kind of relish those conversations and that narrative, I'd be enjoying it even more. Yeah. As it is, definitely loving it. It hasn't knocked my socks off yet.
Right. What's the moment-to-moment gameplay like? What's it feel like to play?
I mean, it's a standard kind of RPG, right? And I'm playing it keyboard and mouse. You've got your skills. You choose your background. So, you know, are you someone who's basically an ex-convict? Are you someone who's very much a lawmaker? Are you a bit of a renegade? Like, you get to choose those things, skill up accordingly, and also get perks based on the skills that you have. The other system that I think is not entirely unique to Outer Worlds, but is definitely something that I'd love to see in more games, is companion system as well. Mm. So recruiting companions, being able to take them with you on missions, but you have control over their abilities as well. That's something I'm still needing to explore a bit more as I get into the game.
Yeah.
But obviously it's great to be able to go, right, I want to take a medic with me, and they're also going to come out with the odd witty line, or I want to take someone who's an absolute bruiser into battle with me. So being able to kind of judge those situations. The open world of the island that I'm currently on, it doesn't feel too overwhelming. There's lots to unlock and there's so much to explore, but the missions and the to-do list, as I'm calling it, that they're giving you is actually naturally taking you to those areas. So you can try and unlock everything at first, but the map is not going to let you. It's going to put some obstacles in your way that will kill you. Or you can do it as the game wants you to, which is, by going and engaging and having those conversations with people. The voice acting is top-notch. And I think one of the things with an open world-esque RPG is sometimes it can be hard because you've got these poor voice actors who are not being paid very much, who are having to voice like 100 characters in a day, right? Obviously, I always think of the classic example being Ubisoft, where you're playing in Viking England and you have American children voicing. You know, there's none of that here. Because probably they haven't felt it was necessary to give an extensive voice to every single character that you meet on the map. The ones that you are having meaningful dialogue with, everyone is really well cast, really well performed. And this, again, the script is brilliantly witty. And It's obviously a kind of satire because you have the Protectorate, who are the thought police, and then you have Auntie's Choice that are the brainwashers. Those are the two factors that there's three in the game, but you're kind of really contending with those two in the initial early stages of the game. And it's great to actually see the parallels, because in some ways, they want world domination, they want the same thing, but Auntie's Choice is saying, you know, they want to take over the market, but the Protectorate also wants to take over your mind. So there's, they might not be preaching consumerism, but there's still something very consumerist about it. And seeing that actually these two opposite ends of the spectrum actually have a lot more in common than you would think is quite fun to kind of discuss and get into and decide which one you prefer more. Which is the lesser of two evils? They're both evil. There is no lesser.
I thought we didn't like politics in games. This sounds like this is interesting, isn't it? People, anyway, that's a discussion for another time. It's got a Metacritic score of 83, so pretty good. What would you say? You can get it for £70 on Argos or £60 on the PlayStation Store or Steam. It's on Xbox Game Pass at the moment. What would your recommendation be? Are you intrigued? You're going to want to play more. Are you excited about what's to come?
I'm definitely excited to play more. I think I have to give a game 10 hours before I go, right, am I really going to enjoy and invest even more time in this? I'm playing it on Games Pass, so it's not something I would be playing on Games Pass. I have to, full disclosure, I was given a code by Microsoft so I could jump in a couple of days early. So I was actually given a code. I should make that clear. Yeah. But I would have definitely played it on Games Pass if I hadn't been given that. For me, 70 sounds like a lot.
Mm. Inflation, 80, I guess,
it's going to be.
Yes.
I feel like I'd pay £50 for a game like this, but 70 seems a lot. I think it is. It's going to be at least 40 hours of gameplay, and more than that if you want to invest your time. And hey, if they give you the DLC for free later down the line, then maybe it's worth it. I think it's up to you. But I think, you know, they're pushing people to make that like £20 a month Game Pass subscription now, or however much it's going to cost us soon. And actually, to be fair, it makes a compelling argument for getting Games Pass still. You know, £20-something is cheaper, obviously, than spending £70 on something, right?
We had a big chat with this with Joey the other day, didn't we, Inel, about Games Pass. You can go back and listen to that episode if you haven't if you haven't heard it already. So let us know what you think of Outer Worlds 2. Is Frankie wet your whistle for that? Are you excited to get into it? Are you ready to spend £70, or maybe you're going to hold on till it's on sale or get it on Game Pass or whatever? Let us know. Get involved in the conversation on Discord, find us on social media as well, and be part of the conversation. Right, okay, the big question from today's show then. This is where our producers have been listening to the show come up with a question based on what we've been talking about. And the question is this, Inel. It's winter. You've got the heating on for the first time and you're sitting on your leopard print self-upholstered bench doing all your adult life admin. You've sorted out your taxes and created a new scoring system for the podcast. Suddenly, you're asked the most important question as part of your admin. Who is the most handsome video game character ever created, not including any steroid-boosted college football players? Who is the most handsome video game character ever created?
That's the question. Not including any character creation ones.
All the weebs are like Cloud.
Do you know what? It has to be like one like back in the 90s, because that's what it was all of. Like, it was like super masculine kind of erotic heroes that they just like sell. The box art would be mainly of them.
Like the kind of like Golden Axe. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Where it's like abs upon abs upon abs, and it's like you play the game, they look nothing like that. I tell you
Johnny
what.
Cage.
Say that again.
Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage. Ryu or Ken, if we're going fighting games.
That's a really... This is really chicken. Hey, Frankie, you go first. You go first.
Prototype Jack from Tekken 3. I can't help but like look to fighting games, because within the context of those fighting games, obviously everyone's jacked up. Yeah. I do think Nathan Drake's very attractive.
I was going to say, you stole mine. I was going to say Nathan Drake, because he's got that sort of charm, but he's Nathan Drake.
I'm going to have to go for Eddie Gordo from Tekken.
But you couldn't go on a date with Eddie Gordo because
yeah,
he'd like turn the table
he's
over because he never stops doing that. You've got beers flying everywhere. He's accidentally groping you without your consent, but he didn't mean it. He's just capoeiraing. He's just moving. Oh, he kicked you in the face. Accident. It was just dance.
That, I mean, rogue choice there. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I like it.
Eddie Gordo, yeah.
The most irritating character in all of fighting.
Well, he was basically DJ from Street Fighter. It was like a Namco's version. And then they checked, yeah, gave him some capoeira skills.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say, I mean, I wanted to say Nathan Drake, but someone stole it.
That's a good question. Good question.
It's a great question. Well, let us know what you think. The answer should be below. I'm gonna stick with I'm gonna stick with Nathan Drake, I think. I'm just googling quickly as well, just to see if there's anybody we're missing out here.
But
Prince and Prince of Persia. John Marston's not a looker. He's no. Yeah, well, look, it's a great question. Look, Chris Redfield, maybe Resident Evil. Anyway, let us know what you think.
That's
the most handsome
good one.
Character in video game history, aside from the college football character that we saw earlier, obviously. Right, today's trivia answer. The swine flu pandemic in 2009 inspired the villains of which hit game released that year? I haven't got an idea. Anybody got an idea?
I can't even remember what came out in 2009. I just know it was like the 360 era. And
PlayStation 3.
And it has to be like a hit game.
It's not a Rockstar game, is it?
I don't know. We're about to find out together.
Let's just guess just really quickly. Okay, so I said I miss you, said Saints Row, but it's probably going to be narrative. It's swine flu. Would that actually literally mean pigs or something to do with farmers?
That's a really good one, Saints Row.
Pigs.
Is it Farmville?
I'm going to take that. Saints Row 2.
Saints Row 2, Farmville. When did Stardew Valley come out? Is that too, too early?
That's much later than 2009, and Farmville is before 2009. That's a problem. 2009 for games.
Well, so you've stumped us. Do we know what the answer is?
Yeah.
Angry Birds. The swine flu pandemic was caused by the H1N1 virus combined with the Eurasian pig flu virus. So when Rovio, the developers of Angry Birds, were creating their villains, they picked pigs. Because of this, and they made them green because they weren't feeling well.
I've just
watched the Angry Birds movie with my kids. I've just watched it.
I thought they were earlier than 2009.
Gosh.
Was Angry Birds 2009?
Well, the iPhone came out in, 2007, 2008, I think. Yeah. So, it makes sense.
I guess it adds up.
Very good. Great trivia work, that. Fantastic trivia, as ever. Top stuff. Well, listen, thank you very much for being with us. Keep on suggesting your trivia questions in the annoying secret channel that me and Ionel can't see in our Discord.
And it's mashing up my stats, man.
Both our stats have dropped now. I'm probably not second anymore.
I don't even want to know where Frankie's at.
Well, I think I was probably still bottom.
Third now, apparently. I'm third. Ionel, you're down. You stay fourth. And Frankie, you now drop to 13th.
Two places.
It's no good. Right, that is it for another episode of Press X to continue. Don't forget to get involved in the Discord. Find us on Press X Pod, that is TikTok, and Blue Sky Press X Podcast on Instagram. And we will be back very soon for some more fun. And we will see you then. Good luck with the rest of the upholstering, Frankie. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.